Here we go. It's 8 past 12. Susie with a 17-minute newscast. We better jump in. Chad Arp and Dave Harrigan, Newstalk 830 WCCO. 3rd District Congressman Dean Phillips is kind enough to join us like all guests, including ones who start the show. Dean is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline. Hello, sir. Glad to chat with you as always. Let's talk about the candidate you are supporting, the Vice President of the United States, Vice President Harris. When you have assessed her, someone you are going to vote for, what has she done to further convince you that you should vote for her, and what has left you with a bit of pause?
Well, Chad, good to be with you. And as you know, I call it like I see it. And to me, this is a no-brainer relative to, you know, my principles and values. And as a patriot and a father and someone who cares deeply about our future, I strongly believe that Vice President Harris and Governor Walz reflect my values and principles better than Donald Trump. And I've tried to be very respectful of those who feel differently. And frankly, I can understand why so many do. And if I'm going to give an objective assessment of the vice president right now, I do believe she's a person of principle and competency and will make good decisions based on the best interests of the country. But I'm not going to lie and tell you that I think that she's run a good campaign. I think the people surrounding her have done a very poor job of introducing her, her platform, her principles, what she would do differently than President Biden, and so many of the basic elements of campaigning that generate interest and invitation. And I'm disappointed and gravely concerned about the outcome of the election. So when you ask that question, I have to be honest, Chad. I think the campaign has done a very poor job of articulating what she stands for, instead wasting a lot of money and time on condemnation of Donald Trump, which accrues to the people supporting him, which creates even more animosity towards Vice President Harris and Governor Walz. And I've shared that disposition with the Harris campaign, and I hope they heed it because time is awfully, awfully short.
Doesn't that final responsibility fall on Kamala Harris?
It does. And, you know, if I'm my background is marketing, and I have to say the Trump campaign has done a much better job of listening to where I believe the majority of Americans are at, and campaigning and producing content that addresses it far better than the Harris campaign has done. And again, condemnation will never beat invitation when it comes to elections. And I'm afraid that, yes, I guess the buck stops with the vice president, but that doesn't change the fact that the gulf between the character of these two candidates is the widest I think has ever existed in an American election. And that's what's so disconcerting, that I'm afraid a dangerous man who lacks character and integrity has done a better job marketing to America. And that's a sad commentary on the state of political affairs in our country.
Okay, I want to get to Donald Trump in moments, but I want to stay with this because you're making news here saying you're questioning how Harris has run her campaign. I'm not questioning her intelligence, but I have been perpetually baffled going back to 2019, Dean, when she is asked direct, specific, and valid questions, and her inability to directly answer these questions. And by the way, I can say clearly, does Donald Trump do this? No, he does not. He tells us it's the weave. Donald He's at a different level, and I get it that some Harris supporters say, you know, you're judging the vice president the way we judge traditional political candidates, and you're not holding Donald Trump to the same level. And I think there's some fairness to it, and we'll get to Donald Trump, trust me. But on the inability of the vice president, you touched on it as an example. How are you going to be different than Joe Biden if she's telling us, as the vice president for the last almost 4 years, that she is the agent of change, and she does not have this answer down pat and ready to go? I'm left shaking my head how that is possible.
And Chad, I am too, and that's why I'm being forthright. In fact, just about a week ago, I tweeted something to that extent, I'll read it verbatim. $1 billion will have been wasted on losing voters by condemnation versus winning them by invitation. She just needed to be clear about what she believes, what she will do differently than Biden, and offer common sense solutions to our problems. Instead, and then I posted a link to a New York Times article, the headline read, starring in Kamala Harris's closing arguments, Donald Trump. My contention to the campaign and to listeners is that we all know who Donald Trump is. There is no need to further define what kind of person he is. What the country needs to hear and needed to hear is who Kamala Harris is. And I think to our respective points, she has been unwilling to say anything negative about Joe Biden, unwilling to define how her presidency would differ. And most importantly, as someone who believes so deeply in generational change, especially in light of what happened with the replacement of Joe Biden, she has been missing an opportunity to present that next generation case to America. Instead, it almost appears to many Americans that Donald Trump is the agent of change. And I think ceding that to him is an astounding failure so far of this campaign. And I am trying to be helpful in any way I can. And unfortunately, we're a week away almost here from an election of great consequence. And time is short, and it is going to be a nail biter, and it should not have been.
Congressman Dean Phillips is with us. Let me ask you one last question. Let's pause and talk more about Donald Trump here. I said this a couple weeks ago. I said, considering the extraordinary circumstances, and obviously we talked about this a lot, Joe Biden should have stepped away 2 years ago. You said that notably. I'm just a silly talk show host. I said it also, but he did not. And I know the timing was extraordinarily difficult, but considering Democrats are trying to say we are a change agent, but still holding on to the core principles that separate Democrats from Republicans, I believe the vice president absolutely should have been involved in a short, intense, competitive race, because I don't think she's been effective in separating herself from Joe Biden. And in the end, I have questions, significant questions. If she was the right questions, maybe it's not fair to her, but she was the vice president. If she was the right person to take over, considering the amount of time and the circumstances to face Donald Trump, do you agree with that statement?
Chad, I do. My contention from well over a year ago was that competition generates better outcomes, that we should have had a legitimate primary when Joe Biden was running. He wasn't precluded from doing so. I just thought the party should include others and promote and encourage disparate voices in a thoughtful competition. Even when Joe Biden stepped aside so late in the game, I still argued that there should be somewhat of a mini tryout, if you will, town halls at which the vice president and others could make their case. But again, you know, the party, the duopoly, the two-party system does not promote competition when there's an incumbent. And I think it is a disservice to the country, certainly a disservice to the party, and I think ultimately a disservice to Vice President Harris herself, who was somewhat anointed in a similar way that Joe Biden was. And I think that is detrimental ultimately to democracy. And I want to make clear once again, I believe she will be a much better, reliable, consistent, principled president than Donald Trump. I think we're entering very dangerous, disconcerting territory with his revenge campaign. I think that she is able and competent and prepared and experienced. And I'm just saddened that I don't think that this has been exposed, if you will, to the country, and competition would have done so. And I'm confounded and dumbfounded and deeply disappointed. And I'm going to be a loud voice here, even when I'm finished with Congress, Chad, to ensure that Americans have more choices, that we promote competition, and that we encourage a new generation of competent Americans on the right and left to serve the public. Because right now, I'm afraid both parties are stifling competition, suppressing engagement, and it's up to all of us to do something about it. We're going to survive the next 4 years, no matter who's president, but it could be dark, and surely will, if Donald Trump re-inhabits the White House. And these are all truths.
Let's get to that. How specific can Congressman Phillips be on his concerns if Donald Trump does win the election, which is next Tuesday? How dark He'll lay that out when we come back after a short pause. Again, Congressman Phillips, Dean Phillips, making news as he always does, questioning how this Harris campaign has laid out, feeling like they've missed an opportunity. They should have touted the candidate herself significantly more than pointing the finger at Donald Trump. More with Dean Phillips in moments on CCO. I don't read a text here as we continue with Dean Phillips here. Trump on a revenge tour, reacting to part of what you said. Really? What do you think the Dems have been doing to Trump, like him or not, for the past 8 years? I think you should be honest about that, Dean. Don't be a partisan on that issue. When you hear this texter and millions of others who are reacting to the former president, who may be the future president 8 days from today, who feel like that Democrats have been gunning for him since he came down the escalator, and they've been using the Justice Department to do it. You say what?
I say to whomever wrote in that I understand, and part of me agrees with that contention, that Democrats have also weaponized government for political to political ends, and I'm disgusted with all of it. But that doesn't change the fact that these two candidates are people of very disparate character, competency, and values. And as I will continue to say, so that people recognize this is not a partisan comment, Chad, both parties are big problems right now. But we have an election in 1 week that will dictate the future of our next 4 years and generations to come. And I think we have to separate these two conversations. I will be very loud after this election about what I think needs to happen in our country relative to our electoral and political system. But yes, both parties, I think, are failing America. Yes, cancel culture and woke culture and using legal mechanisms to pursue people rather than political mechanisms, I think, are also damaging faith in government. Again, that doesn't change the fact that Donald Trump is not a good man. And I'm just going to reiterate it. I stood with him, under him, met with him, spent some time with him, and have done so with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and it is night and day. But the parties are both problems, and these are two separate issues.
It sounds to me that after this election is done, when you are moving away from politics, whether it's temporarily or permanently, that you're going to step away from your party. Am I speculating on that correct?
No, I wouldn't take it that far, Chad. I understand why you might infer that, but I'm not going to step away from anything right now, but I will step into the truth, and I will step into a proposition that I think is integral if we hope to restore faith in government and get our democracy back on track, because the two parties are not serving that interest. I like to try to improve from the inside first. I've tried to do so in Congress. I wish I'd been more successful. I will certainly share some of my time, treasure, and energy beyond Congress to articulate what I discovered, what I think needs to change. But I'm a Democrat. I intend to remain one, but I'm not going to continue to tolerate two private corporations that are not representing Americans well. And if my party was winning this race by 10, 20 points, as it should be, I would feel very differently. But clearly, the proof is in the pudding, Chad. This is a neck-and-neck race that shouldn't be, and it is probably more likely than not that Democrats will lose the presidency. And if that is the case, it is inexcusable, untenable, and something has to change. And that is my message, I think most people understand it.
Okay, so let me jump in on that, because I was headed that way. You think as of today, 8 days away, it is more likely than not that Donald Trump is going to win the presidency. Is that what I heard?
I have to say, if I had to put it all on one, it's not the way I want it to go, but I have to be forthright. Anecdotally, based on the metrics that I'm seeing and the polls and my intuition, yes, I would have to say that I'm feeling that Donald Trump will be the next president. And to those who do not want to see that occur, I really encourage listeners to make sure you get out and vote, encourage others to do so. Don't sit home and protest by not marking a ballot. Don't write me in. Don't write others in. Don't vote for third-party candidates. You know, vote for principle first. And I don't know how to better say that, Chad, but unfortunately right now it's looking awfully concerning. And that means the Senate and also the House of Representatives. My biggest concern is that President Trump wins the White House and Republicans win the House and Senate. That is a trifecta that will have consequences beyond, I think, some of our worst concerns. And listeners have to recognize that our system of governance requires some checks and balances, and at the very least must ensure that one of the chambers of our U.S. Congress be in the hands of, in this case, the Democratic Party, or else we are in trouble. I really do believe that.
Okay, let me react to part of that answer. I will not give a split second of consideration voting for Donald Trump. After I heard him coming down the escalator 2015, I knew I was headed that way, and he proved it again, especially on January 6th. But I agree with you. I've been significantly disappointed by the vice president. So if I am picking the vice president because she is by far the lesser of the two evils, why shouldn't I vote for someone who ran for the race? Why shouldn't I take this time to write someone in? Because I don't believe the two parties will ever allow this domination, this monopoly to happen. The only way it's going to happen if voters like myself and tens of millions of others who are fairly similar to you politically rise up and show it when we vote, because I just don't think the apparatus allows the other opportunities to happen.
Yeah, that's a totally reasonable position that I think in many ways many of us feel right now. But the consequences of selecting a third party candidate, if you're disappointed in the way you just expressed, I'm afraid hands this election to Donald Trump and the consequences are going to be grave. I believe we have to separate these two issues, recognize what is forthcoming in 1 week, but then prospectively start reconciling what has to change in the future. And I think the time to affect that is not on this year's ballot. It's beginning the day after the election on November 6th, when I will be much more forthright about what I think needs to change, and I hope others will join me. In the meantime, that protest vote or sitting out this election, I'm afraid, is a de facto vote for Donald Trump based on all the evidence that's available to us. And I caution people, and to those that have been very thoughtful about communicating with me that they intend to write my name in, I'm humbled by that, but that is unfortunately antithetical to my own intention and my own strategy, which is to ensure that Vice President Harris is elected because, like I said, I'm a father and I'm an American and I'm deeply concerned about the future. And I do believe in my heart and in my head that we will all be better off under a President Harris. And if anybody watches that rally at Madison Square Garden yesterday, Chad, and I encourage people to do so who might be on the fence about Donald Trump and his culture and his intentions, watch that rally from beginning to end, and then vote your conscience after that, because I think it is one of the most defining elements of this man and his intentions that we could possibly ask for. Don't pay attention to the ads that you saw during football yesterday, which are well produced and inspiring. Watch the truth, and that rally should give pause to anybody who intends to vote for him.
Two last questions for Congressman Dean Phillips. We'll let him go. I'm sure he'll join us even when he steps away from politics, whether it's temporarily or permanently. We'll still stay in contact with Dean. So let's lay this out. If Donald Trump wins and he's back in the White House, there are many Donald Trump supporters who will push back and say, well, I keep hearing people say democracy may die, or he's a threat to this and that. And they look back to the previous 4 years and say, come on. None of that happened. To those folks who feel like the Democrats, including what you've said here, that it's hyperbole, that he talks a lot of bluster, but in the end he's not going to follow up, what do you say to them, and what are your specific gravest concerns, if gravest is the right way to say it, if Donald Trump is the president?
Well, first and foremost, you know, the presidency is not just one person, and it's more about the people with whom you surround yourself, your cabinet, your administration, your advisors. In the first Trump administration, Chad, President Trump had some pretty good people around him. I worked with them. His White House was helpful to the 3rd District. We passed legislation that was beneficial. He signed my bill into law for the Paycheck Protection Program Flexibility Act. And I was very pleased, actually, from an operational perspective. But if you look now at the people that worked with him during that era who had the Constitution first and foremost in their minds, John Kelly and so many others, listen to their words right now about what kind of man he is, the people who were closest to him. He will not be surrounding himself with principled people the second time around. They don't want to. He doesn't want them. And he will be a lame duck president from day one, only being able to serve 4 years. He is on a revenge mission. He has made it clear. Watch this rally at Madison Square Garden last night. It is as clear as the sky is blue about his intentions. And that's why, as important as the presidency is, the United States Congress is integral. Whoever the next leader of the Republican conference in the Senate, who maintains control of the House, will have direct bearing on the future of this country. And Donald Trump is making it pretty clear about his relative disregard for the Constitution. And yes, that's dangerous. Let's separate policy and politics from principle. And I do not see him displaying the principle of a president who is here to protect the Constitution. If anything, I believe he wishes to violate it. And the question is, will people elected to an oath to the Constitution be willing to stand in his way? They did not. They did not do it when they had the chance when I was in Congress. And as someone who was trapped in the House chamber on January 6th, subject to the riot that he inspired and sitting there while he did nothing, while he watched the TV screen, apparently with a smile on his face, that is all you need to know about what kind of man he is. And this is a question for every American. Do we put our own self-preservation first or our countries? And I think it's time to put our countries first. And that means sometimes you have to make a decision that is not as comfortable as the one you would normally make. And that's why I think this conversation about Vice President Harris not running a great campaign and some of her failures to inspire are secondary to what is going to come in the next 4 years, Chad. I think it's terribly, terribly consequential for our children and posterity. And that's why I feel so strongly about seeing that she wins and then reforming the system so that this dynamic comes to a conclusion and we get our act together again as Americans who love, respect, and protect one another.
When are you and your friend Woody Harrelson joining the show together?
You know what? I would love nothing more, and I think he would love nothing more. Woody loves Minnesota, has come to visit me regularly, loves our culture, our people, our lakes, and mark my words.
Let's make that happen.
Together. Chad, I promise you. And my objective is to get him to the state fair in the next couple of years. So that'll be my focus.
That would be good. That would be excellent. thank you as always, sir. We'll talk soon.
All right, Chad. Keep the faith.
Dean Phillips. Pretty much every time he's on the show, he makes significant news. Wasn't exactly tepid in his criticism of the Harris campaign. And most of the time, I agree with him. Again, I agree with him on this one. I think overall, I'm putting more of the onus on her, though. We're going to separate a little bit on, I think it's hard, it's almost impossible to run against Trump and not talk about Trump. But when she's had a chance to close the deal, she's left the deal wide open. And again, I agree. I think more metrics than not show that if the election was today, Donald Trump would be the 45th and 47th president. Close, but I lean that way. What do you want to say? How do you want to react to what Dean Phillips had to say? A long, long list of texts. If you want to keep texting on this, that would be great. If you want to call in and you want to add something unique, we would love to have you on board. It's the stylesfinancial.com talk and text lines. You agree with Dean Phillips. You separate a little bit. You dramatically disagree with what Dean Phillips had to say in a lengthy interview. It's 35 fast 12 on the home of election coverage next week, starting at 8, WCCO Radio.